The 40 days of the soul begin on the morning after death. That first night, before its 40 days begin, the soul lies still against sweated-on pillows and watches the living fold the hands and close the eyes, choke the room with smoke and silence to keep the new soul from the doors and the windows and the cracks in the floor so that it does not run out of the house like a river. The living know that, at daybreak, the soul will leave them and make its way to the places of its past, the schools and dormitories of its youth, army barracks and tenements, houses razed to the ground and rebuilt, places that recall love and guilt, difficulties and unbridled happiness, optimism and ecstasy, memories of grace meaningless to anyone else. And sometimes this journey will carry it so far for so long that it will forget to come back. For this reason, the living bring their own rituals to a standstill. To welcome the newly loosed spirit, the living will not clean, will not wash or tidy, will not remove the soul's belongings for 40 days, hoping that sentiment and longing will bring it home again, encourage it to return with a message, with a sign, or with forgiveness. If it is properly enticed, the soul will return as the days go by, to rummage through drawers, peer inside cupboards, seek the tactile comfort of its living identity by reassessing the dish rack and the doorbell and the telephone, reminding itself of functionality, all the time touching things that produce sound and make its presence known to the inhabitants of the house. Speaking quietly into the phone, my grandma reminded me of this after she told me of my grandfather's death. For her, the 40 days were fact and common sense, knowledge left over from burying two parents and an older sister, assorted cousins and strangers from her hometown, a formula she had recited to comfort my grandfather whenever he lost a patient in whom he was particularly invested. A superstition, according to him, but something in which he had indulged her with less and less protest as old age had hardened her beliefs. My grandma was shocked, angry because we had been robbed of my grandfather's 40 days, reduced now to 37 or 38 by the circumstances of his death. He had died alone, on a trip away from home. She hadn't known that he was already dead when she had ironed his clothes the day before or washed the dishes that morning, and she couldn't account for the spiritual consequences of her ignorance. He had died in a clinic in an obscure town called Zredkov, on the other side of the border. No one my grandma had spoken to knew where Zredkov was, and when she asked me, I told her the truth. I had no idea what he had been doing there.
"You're lying," she said.
"Bako, I'm not."
"He told us he was on his way to meet you."
"That can't be right," I said. He had lied to her, I realized, and lied to me. He had taken advantage of my own cross-country trip to slip away. A week ago, she was saying, by bus, right after I had set out myself, and had gone off for some reason unknown to either of us. It had taken the Zredkov clinic staff 3 whole days to track my grandmother down after he died, to tell her and my mother that he was dead, arranged to send his body. It had arrived at the city morgue that morning, but by then I was already 400 miles from home, standing in the public bathroom at the last service station before the border, the payphone against my ear, my pant legs rolled up, sandals in hand, bare feet slipping on the green tiles under the broken sink. Somebody had fastened a bent hose onto the faucet, and it hung, nozzle down, from the boiler pipes, coughing thin streams of water onto the floor. It must have been going for hours. Water was everywhere, flooding the tile grooves and pooling around the rims of the squat toilets, dripping over the doorstep and into the dried-up garden behind the shack. None of this fazed the bathroom attendant, a middle-aged woman with an orange scarf tied around her hair, whom I had found dozing in a corner chair and dismissed from the room with a handful of bills, afraid of what those 7 missed beeper pages from my grandma meant before I even picked up the receiver.